today's going to be pretty interactive. How many of you are here for the first time? You missed 2 weeks ago. Yeah, raise your hand. Lots of you here for the first time. So see, you're not the only one. If you're coming in and you're thinking, oh, shoot, I'm way behind, you're not. You're just in good company. How many of you have a brand new baby with you? Like, yes, here's one. I mean, 17 days old. 5 weeks, I think you said. Is that right, Lauren? That you guys, congratulations. You made it. That's a big deal. We're really glad you're here. We know what it takes to get here with a little baby and maybe even a toddler in tow as well. You're probably sweating right now, right? For those of you that this is your first time, my name's Jamie York, and I have the privilege of getting to lead, coordinate this gathering of Sprouts Moms along with an awesome leadership team of mentors and leaders who you will get to know over the course of this year. If you've probably met a few of them already. But we're just really glad to have you here and glad to get to gather together today. Today we're going to talk about friendship, which as I was thinking about it and praying about it, I was like, this might feel like a non-topic to some people, like friendship, really? Don't we just do friendship? But we're going to go with it, and I just am excited about what we're going to get to do. But before we dig in, I'm actually going to stop and pray for our time. Lord, you know how I need you in order to have wise words to share today, and you know the distraction of my morning and the highs and the lows, and I'm guessing the mornings of many people getting here. And now we are in this place, and we get to be together. And I just pray you would order the time, be with the kids downstairs especially, and the workers. May there just be peace in those places, and let this just be a time of encouragement and friendship. We love you. Amen. So I want to share a story about some friends. There's going to be a picture up there. This is Nezzy and Rachel. Nezzy and Rachel. Nezzy is my husband's grandma, and she is now 99 years old. She'll turn 100 in March, and that is her BFF of 85 years. Her name is Rachel, and this picture was actually taken about 8 years ago. They are still best friends on earth, and they have been best friends since they were in junior high. And I just was thinking, as I was thinking about the topic of friendship, and I was, and in a minute I'm going to have us remember a lot of the milestones in our lives. I was thinking about what a remarkable thing it must be for the two of them to be at this stage in their life, and have been friends through just literally everything. They met in junior high. I was asking my mother-in-law last night to tell me some cute stories about them. They still try and get together. Rachel travels to see Nezzy. She tries once a year because Nezzy can't travel anymore. And every time they're together, they just hold hands and they just talk about how they're going to hopefully go to heaven on the same day. And if you get there first, make sure that you watch out for me. You know, it's just the sweetest thing. But one of the things, the story that my mother-in-law shared with me last night that I thought was so beautiful and just a picture of friendship is that when they were young, I mean, they met in junior high and then both got married. Nezzy's husband went off to war. Rachel and her husband had a lot of, actually both couples had a hard time getting pregnant. And Rachel and her husband, after years and years of trying, decided to adopt. And Nezzy and her husband, Pratt, my husband's grandfather, they tried for 10 years to get pregnant and finally got pregnant with Jan, my mother-in-law. And the two of them did not live in the same city at the time. They, in fact, have lived long distance most of their adulthood, and they've traveled, had to really invest in their friendship by traveling to see each other. But they lived in different cities. They both learned that one, Rachel was going to adopt, and Nezzy knew that she was pregnant. And they wrote letters to each other. Their letters crossed in the mail, and they got their letters on the same day, opened them, and both learned about each other's new arrival on the same day. And they got to share in that joy, but think of the times of real trial and hardship and sadness in the process. But that's just a little glimpse of how they have weathered storms, highs and lows, raised families, traveled to see each other, and now here they are, still just with a whole lifetime of friendship. Isn't that beautiful? It just is, I just can't imagine what that must feel like for them and think it's so amazing. So think back over your life. I'd love for us to just take a minute and think back to like your first day of school when you went to kindergarten. And then going through elementary school and junior high. Remember junior high? Right? I have a junior higher right now, and it's just a little rough in the friendship department sometimes, or it's awesome. You know, you just never know. It depends on the day. And then high school, and then maybe college, maybe wedding, babies. And I just think about how friendship has probably, the people in your life at each of those times or seasons have helped to make each of us the people that we are today. As I've spent time thinking about this, I think, man, it's not something I pay all that much attention to, but friends are in our lives in these seasons and really help to make us who we are. Would you agree? And when you think about those, like being in elementary school, you probably picture a friend or two. You might picture people who you remember playing on the playground with. So it's so interesting that we don't often stop and think about friendship, though. And so I wonder, like, are you thinking, why do we need to stop and talk about friendship today? Because doesn't that just happen naturally? Isn't it something that just happens? And I guess as I've been thinking about it, I'm realizing I'm not sure it happens as naturally anymore. With just the busyness of life. And I have been seeing so many examples of how maybe friendship is being a little bit squeezed out of our human experience, and we have to be really intentional about it. There's some things that I've noticed just in looking around. I talked with some friends recently who had recently moved from California, and they were sharing the story about how they had lived in a neighborhood for 7 or 8 years, and had their kids had been born there, and they desperately tried to make friends. They would even, like he said, you know, I would pull my barbecue out after work to the front of my house, like in my driveway, and just say, hey friends, come over, let's have some dinner together. And people wouldn't come because they'd just drive into their garages and then they'd go about their life. And they were so desperate for friends that when they came to visit some friends here in the Portland area a couple years ago, they went with those friends to a barbecue. They were like, oh, wait, people do this here? Let's move. Like, they up and moved here because they thought maybe they'd have a better chances of finding friends. And so I thought, wow, it is true that our lives are set up that we drive into our garages and we're pretty self-sufficient. We don't have to go to the store if we don't want to, right? We don't have to engage with our neighbors because if we're out of a cup of sugar, we can order it and it can be at our door in an hour, right? We don't even have to call someone to borrow an egg. But I also see it in this next generation with my girls. So Addison is is my freshman in high school, and she's been playing on a volleyball team this year. And she had an all-day tournament a couple weeks ago where I dropped her at 7:30 in the morning, and we didn't get home till 8:30 at night. And they certainly didn't play volleyball the whole day, right? They had lots of downtime in between their games. But they, what I noticed is they would be sitting around a circle and not hanging out with each other. They were all on their phones. And I just thought, what an interesting phenomenon that girls who are 14, 15 years old, when in past generations, that would be such an opportunity to just like have fun and giggle about whatever teenagers giggle about that may seem silly, but awesome, right? And they were instead replacing that with a kind of a virtual experience with people that were not actually in front of them. She came and found me and was like, I guess I'll sit with you because nobody really wants to talk. I feel like I'm bugging everybody because I want to talk. And so we brainstormed, like, how do you get, so pretty soon they figured out how to play a game or two, which was great. But I thought, wow, there is such temptation or distraction from just like seeing the people that are right next to us that could be our friends, right? They could be people we might discover a real connection with, but we're missing the opportunity. And it's like our culture is just like the pace of our lives and just these distractions are stealing some of these opportunities for friendship. So I think it's important that we talk about it, that we actually maybe take time to inventory the state of our friendships, the state of how we are as a friend and how the patterns in our lives may or may not be helping set us up to discover new friendships. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to spend some time really thinking about this. I think it's really notable that you all are here. You all decided to come to a place where other people are today. You got your kids up and out. You got dressed, whatever that meant for you this morning. you came, some of you, into a place where you don't know people. This probably, for some of you, feels like a bit of a stretch. And I just commend you because you're deciding that you want to involve yourself in community and put yourself out there. So this is a big deal. I recognize that for many of us. I was thinking back to when I was in a similar stage of life as many of you with my first baby, 14-ish years ago, and when I made a new friend and like stepped out of the box, it was this. We were at church, and because we had a newborn, we had to stay in the foyer because our baby kept crying, and so we were sitting in the foyer with all the other families that had babies, right, or wanted to drink coffee or something. There was like a rule about that. Anyways, I remember the service getting over and standing up and looking across the room and seeing this couple. And her diaper bag was so cute. Like I thought, oh, that is so cute. And wow, they look nice. And they have a baby who's about the same age as mine. And so I walked over and introduced myself. And we have become such amazing life friends. So we walked over. I just said to my husband, listen, I want to go meet that gal over there. And we walked over. And it turns out our husbands both are Denver Bronco fans. And so that's been like, now it's turned into an annual trip. I mean, these are friends that we will have for life. And but it took a moment. It took a, I think I need to go meet them. And then it has grown into such a beautiful experience. And so that story, that experience has been a bit of inspiration for what I'm going to have you all do next. We're going to try and recreate the church foyer experience. It could be a church foyer experience. It could be right here. It could be at your elementary school or wherever you live. But we are going to do a fun activity so that we can see and get to know who's in the room here. So Liz Schmidt is my amazing partner in crime. And we've been brainstorming this. And she put together a friendship bingo activity. And she's going to tell you a little bit about it.
Thanks, Jamie. So I know that you guys got to a chance to get to know your group members this last week when you were here. But we thought today it would be really fun if you could get to know those people on the other side of the room. Maybe there's that mom that you've seen, like Jamie said, with a cool diaper bag, or just a mom that you're like, oh, we might have similar interests. Or even like Lauren was brand new today, and I introduced her to my friend Laura, and they realized, oh, we're in the same bar 3 class. So we put together this really neat Sprouts bingo game. So what you're going to do is you'll have a pen, and you're just going to go up to another mom that you see, someone who looks interesting, someone you don't know, and ask them one of these questions. And it could be like, oh, what's your favorite mom's night out? Or your favorite coffee beverage? Or your favorite yoga pose? There's lots of different ones on here. And just try to get like 5 in a row or somewhere along there. And we'll have, how long will we have for this? Yes, prizes for winners.
There are prizes for places 1 and 2. So.
Yes, so once you complete, and don't feel like you have to rush through, like, oh, I'm like, okay, we're done having this conversation, on to the next person. So once you get your 5, come on up, and prizes for 1 and 2.
Hello. Oh, I've already got 2. Oh, we've got 2 winners. I'm so sorry. You're probably 3. We've got some bingo winners. Okay, if you can wrap up conversations, we're going to find out who our winners are. All right, winners, come up here. Come on up here. You guys are going to report out. Oh, yes. Oh, it's part of the deal. Here, we've got... Okay, guys, we are going to have our winners. Which of you were you there first? Were you up here first? Okay. All right. Yes. Okay, you guys, we have fabulous prizes for our two winners up here. And so by way of getting to know each other, they're going to report out on what they learned about some of these friends in the room. So if you visited with either of these girls, your story might get shared. Here's Bethany.
Okay. All right. So I started with the first CD you ever bought with Emily, and that was a Michael Jackson CD. Aaron's favorite book is East of Eden. Valerie, the scariest thing that she ever did for fun was paragliding.
Who's Valerie?
Valerie.
Oh, Valerie right here.
Yeah. Sarah's teenage moment that makes her look back and laugh was when they made shaving cream bras. Yeah. And then Katie and Sarah, they would both use 1 hour of extra time for naps.
Also, amazing. Yeah. That's so great. So if your answer got red, will you raise your hand? Yes. Okay, we see you. Good job. You got a fabulous prize, right? Okay. All right, you're up next. This is Abby.
All right. So Melissa's favorite TV show is anything on TLC. All the ones with the millions of children, which is fascinating.
Where is Melissa? Oh, right back here? Okay. Wait. Which Melissa? Way back in the back. Okay. Melissa.
Tanya likes, most about being a mom is all the sweet moments that make you thankful and think, or just like the overwhelming moments of having a kid and having a sweet moment. Sarah would nap if she had an hour of free time, which actually Tanya also said she would nap, so that makes sense. 20 minutes early, of course, another Tanya. And then Carissa said the first CD she ever bought was Matchbox 20, so.
Okay, awesome. If your name was read, or if your answer was shared, oh, you get to keep that. Raise your hand, will you? Tanya, Sarah, Melissa. Awesome, you guys. Oh, this, yeah, and another Melissa. Okay. Well, so fun. So I would love to know, did anybody learn something that you just like was so surprising in this process? You can just share about a friend in the room. Yes, Amber.
I learned that Mary Ann and I like the same authors.
Really? Who are they? Who are the authors? Amazing. Look at that. Fast friends. What else? Who else? So I thought that I'd ask a few questions that might just apply for all of us. How many of you have or had a creative job or hobby? Like you, if you had a career, or maybe you still have a career, or you just wish you had a career in something creative, raise your hand so we can look around the room. Awesome. Like, would that, shout out what those would be. Like,
paint and wine class.
Awesome. There's your go-to. If you want to just host one in your home, Cody. Yeah, who else would share? Yeah, Kimberly.
A writer.
Oh, my goodness, really? A writer. That's great. After kids, we'll look for your name on the bookshelves. How about you, Michaela? A newborn photographer. Yes. You're getting some good practice right now, I'm guessing. Oh, good. Oh, good. Who else wants to share? Yeah, Brittany. Photography as well. Awesome. How many of you had or have a career like in the business world? Yeah, like doing what? Let's hear you shout out. Ashley, what did you do?
Sales.
Okay. Who else wants to share? Yeah. Recruiting. Awesome. Liz, what'd you? PR and social media marketing. It doesn't surprise. I know. Those of us that know Liz, that's of course. Who else? Does anybody else want to share what you did or do? wealth and finance, she's still doing it, right? Yeah, isn't that cool? Hopefully you're just like hearing what is around the people that are around the room and the things. How many of you would have had like a musical? Maybe this was already encapsulated in creative. Someone who's done music in the past, maybe as a hobby or as a profession. Yeah, what did you do in the music? Yeah. Awesome. So we'll call you when we're ready to do some worship. Good. What is your name?
Lauren.
Hi. Who else? Oh, this is cute. Would you like the microphone? Yes, come on up. You're next. Anybody else do music? She's so excited. I'm happy to. She can come on. Oh, hi. Maybe today's the day. Are you coming? Can I pick her up? Are you okay with that?
That'll make things. Hi, sweetie. Will you come see me?
Oh, hi. Remind me, what is her name?
Mila.
Hi, Mila.
Will you hang out with me?
She's so darling. Okay, anybody else that did music?
Here, yes, take a picture of me, Mackenzie. Please. Thank you. Just, she's darling.
So maybe you looked around the room and you thought, oh, that's something like I used to do, or I'd love to get to know that person, or maybe you already have friendship with some of these people, but hopefully it just helps us all look up and around a little bit. So I'd love for us to now turn our attention to diving a little bit deeper into what I'm calling a profile of a friend with five different categories that I would love to share. I actually pulled this summer, a handful of us did a Bible study put out by If Gathering called Not Alone. And it was all about friendship. And it was just a fabulous deep dive into what the Bible has to say about friendship and things like where stories of friendship are in the Bible, examples of different friendships. And also, I talked about the profile of a friend. And so I pulled from there. And I'd love for us as we talk about each of these words to think about, maybe use the opportunity to just do inventory of your own experience. Maybe asking yourself, do I experience this in my friendships? And am I this kind of a friend? And I do recognize I have chosen to share both a definition, like a Wikipedia or dictionary definition of each of the words, but I've also chosen to include some scripture just because I do understand that some here that may not be your go-to to go to the Bible for wisdom, but for me personally, it is foundational for where I go to for wisdom. And so I hope that even if it's not your go-to, it will be a source of encouragement and maybe new insight, even if it's not already your standard. So you'll see that I've included some scripture, and after each one that we'll discuss, I'm going to have you turn to the friends around you and talk a little deeper about what this looks like in your real life. I also understand that some of us, whether we're in a season of feeling like we are plentiful in the area of friendship, or maybe we're in a season of feeling a little bit lonelier, it's something that hits close to home for all of us. Don't you think that friendship comes in seasons sometimes? And so this is meant to only be encouragement for us to really take stock of how we're engaging in friendship. So the first one is humility. And humility is described as the quality of being humble, a virtue which centers on low self preoccupation or an unwillingness to put oneself forward. I don't know if you can see that. It's a little small, but the Bible describes it quite a bit around, but the scripture that I pulled was Philippians 2, 3, and 4. It says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." So I don't know about you, but humility is maybe not the first word that I would think of when I'm thinking about friendship. But as I think about it, wow, it really changes the way you consider your friendships, maybe new or old. When we come in with an attitude of thinking about someone else's interests before ours, it really changes the way that we engage in friendship. It really changes even our expectations. If we're coming in thinking, oh, what might I be able to do to encourage this friend, rather than what are they going to be for me, it changes everything, right? But maybe isn't something we consider all that much. And I'm also afraid that probably it's not the message we're hearing from the culture surrounding us. So much of our world is telling us to find places that really fill you up, that really you get everything you want. But when you go into a friendship or a relationship that way, it sometimes leaves something to be desired. And so I'd love for you to think about your friendships and think about how humility, is it something that you can imagine is critical in friendships? And maybe take a minute now to turn to people around you and share an answer to this question. What has humility looked like in your relationships? Or maybe what hasn't it looked like? Maybe the opposite has been true for you in some of your closer friendships. And so just take a minute and turn to the people you might have to turn around or scoot in and find a few people to chat with about humility and what it's looked like in your friendship experiences. I'm sure we could keep going, right? Does someone want to share just a little snippet of what you either shared with your group or something you heard someone else share, if it's all right with them? Someone want to share? Cody, yeah. Yeah, so if you can't hear, she just said how she loves to have people over without the focus being on her place or on herself. It's really about the other person. It's really about creating an environment that is welcoming and fosters friendship. I paraphrased, but I love that. That if it's not about us promoting ourselves or looking a certain way, it can really free someone else up to enter in a way that they might not otherwise. That's awesome, you guys. So the next one is transparency and intimacy. And this really, I think, crosses over. I mean, in the group that I got to join, we've talked some about this. But transparency and intimacy, it was really interesting. Wikipedia said intimacy is the feeling of being in close personal association and belonging together. It's a familiar and very close connection with another as a result of a bond that is formed through knowledge and experience of the other. Genuine intimacy in human relationships requires dialogue, transparency, vulnerability, and reciprocity, which I think is so cool, those words, dialogue, transparency, vulnerability, and reciprocity. Ephesians 4:25 says, "Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." So if we consider how we are being a safe place for others and also willing to share ourselves in that way, it takes us to the next level. I mean, those words, transparency, vulnerability, they're very popular words right now. There's a lot of conversation out in the world about being vulnerable and transparent, and I think we see a lot of it in, like, people Instagramming their pile of laundry and, hey, I'm being so transparent, which is true. I mean, this is real life happening. But then when we get in personal contact with each other, we often can still put forth a certain version of ourselves. And so this is, it's interesting. I was just in a conversation with a friend last night, a newer friend, and she was sharing about how she has been in relationship with these two other gals for as long, they've raised kids and they have their kids going off to college now. And she said, these have been people we've done life together. She said, but my tendency, I realized, I've felt challenged lately that I have not, like, given myself to them in a vulnerable way. And I've missed out. She said, I just feel really compelled that I have these friends that I've done life with. Like, we are close, but I don't actually feel like they know me. And how we can be in relationships for years and years. And what a beautiful, so she was saying, she said, like, I can. I'm just reserved by nature. And she said, so I have this life experience, just like that says. It says over experience, through knowledge and experience of the other. She has that life experience, but she's just been holding something back. And she just feels compelled that there's more that can be gained if she's willing to share a little bit more. And so that is, of course, in our own time and in our own on our own schedule, right? But it's caused me to think, wow, are there ways that we choose to hold back a little bit, but then maybe are not engaging in that reciprocity of vulnerability with the people around us? And so it's just good to think about, isn't it? Just pause and go, huh, are the people in my life, are these ones that I want to be intentional with, and maybe even take a risk, might feel like a risk, and take that next step of friendship, that, like, knowing each other at a level that often gets squeezed out again in the busyness of our lives. So you get to turn to each other, and maybe if it's not too uncomfortable, you could turn to new people, but if you need to stick with the same, that's fine as well. And talk about what has transparency and intimacy looked like in your friendships, or maybe what does it not look like? if you're looking for that. So take a few minutes, three or four minutes, and talk about transparency and intimacy. Such awesome conversation. I'm jumping around to groups, so look out for me. it's so great to think about this topic. I think one of the things that I'm hearing is, you know, transparency and intimacy is one of those, like, things that feels a little bit like a dance, right? You, with those that you have known for 20 years, you are way more able to share things, or maybe used to sharing things that maybe newer friends, you're not quite sure if it's a good place, or you don't want to overshare, you don't want to, so you have to really feel this stuff out, right? And be sensitive to different temperaments, and understanding that not everybody is as quick to share as maybe I am. If you know me, you know that I'm just willing to share it all, but it's still important to realize that for those friendships, that is a quality in a friendship that is a beautiful thing, right? When you get to that place with others. So the next one is discernment. Again, another word that I'm not sure we think of when we think of friendship. Wikipedia says it's the ability to obtain sharp perceptions or to judge well. It's a virtue. A discerning individual is considered to possess wisdom and be of good judgment. There's many scripture references about wisdom. In fact, one of them is in the Tuesday Bible study that we do here at River West. We're studying James, and it's James 1:5. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him or her ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. So I guess the question is, where do we go? Where do you go for wisdom? How do you become or like build that muscle of discernment? And the way that I think about this in friendship is that if I want to be a good friend, I want to be able to give advice or engage with them around in ways that are truly founded in truth and in wisdom that is very much beyond me, you know? And so for me personally, this is one of those that I do just depend on my relationship with God and asking for wisdom, so that as I engage with friends and want to be a good friend, it's similar to my parenting, you know? God knows my kiddos way better than I do. God knows my friends way better than I do. And he has the big picture in mind. And so as I pursue him, he is able to help me discern what is best for my kids and discern how to just be a good mom, how to be a good friend, how to be a wife that he is asking me to be. And so it's important to think about, how do we find wisdom? How do we gain discernment in our friendships? So I'm thinking, the question for you to talk about with your friends around you is, can you think of a time when you needed to be discerning in a friendship? So think about, like, when maybe you were being asked for advice or when you needed a friend to help you in this way. And maybe share about that in your groups for, we'll say, 2 or 3 minutes this time, okay? So think of a time when you needed to be discerning in a friendship or when you needed a friend to share a thoughtful, discerning word with you. The next one we're going to look at is empathy. This sounds like a friendship word, right? Empathy. The definition of empathy is the capacity to understand or feel what another person is experiencing from within their frame of reference, or like put ourselves in their shoes, right? It's all over the Bible, but I pulled just a few. Romans 12:15 says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep." Isn't that just, that says it so well. Just sit, we were just talking about this, sit with the people in their place, right? Colossians 3:12 says, "Put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another." So think about this word, empathy, and consider maybe it comes easy to you. Maybe this is just how you were made. I really think, in my experience, empathy is one of those things that maybe is just in some of us, and then others really have to build that muscle. I see that in my kids. From the youngest of ages, you can just see the ones that are just there for the hurting kid in school, and then the others who hardly see that hurting kid. And that's just the way we're made. But empathy is something we need in our friendships. And whether it comes naturally or not, we've got to recognize and hopefully develop it and help, or at least understand our limitations in it, right? So I would love for you to think about and talk about whether or not you have experienced someone showing you empathy. Just share about one story where you experienced being on the receiving end of empathy and what a difference it made in your friendship. So take a few minutes, okay? This is so great. I was just talking with Michaela, and she said, "I think this empathy is why we all come to Sprouts." Right? You're just like want to be with people who know what you're going through. the whole idea that we all are moms, we all get it. Whether we have little tinies or even older ones, we've been there, and we can relate and empathize with each other. And so it's such a beautiful, I always like listening to you all talk, and this is such a place to be if you need empathy in your life. You don't have to look very far to find someone who's like, "Girl, I get that," right there. So empathy is so important. And then intentionality. Intentionality is our last word. And the dictionary talks about it being the act of being deliberate or purposeful. Matthew 5:37 says, "Let what you say be simply yes or no." And then all around James, again, is what we're studying in our Bible study on Tuesdays. It's all about how our lives must reflect the things that we say are important, the things that we believe in. And so it's really this concept that the truth is that we follow through on the things or the relationships that we believe in or care about. And following through on commitments, planning ahead to care for or invest in other people, these are the ways that we display intentionality in our relationships and our friendships. And so when you think about it, think about when you say yes to a friend, it's really important to follow through on that. Because when you cancel or you are tentative, and this is a challenging thing for all of us, probably for me especially, we have so much going on in our lives, right? There are so many good things, in fact, going on in our lives. But following through on the commitments with the people who are close to us is so critical, because when we don't, it really sends a message that we may not intend, but does send a message of low priority in our lives. And so if your friendships matter, they've got to make it into your schedule, right? Just like coming to Sprouts. If this matters, we want this to be a place that really encourages you. But you've got to show up and make it part of your schedule. And so intentionality is such an incredible thing to think about in all of our lives. The things that matter most to us must make it into our lives. Some synonyms for intention are aim, goal, direction, end. Like, what do we want it to look like? And then we have to build towards that. So I want to move us along. We won't talk about that one in our small groups, but instead I just wanted to share about, just personally, I have been really blessed to have friends throughout my life, although as I was thinking about it, coming up through school, I did not have close friends. I was, maybe surprising to some of you, I was fairly introverted. And it was in, I know, Marianne's saying, no, there's no way. I know, you can ask my mom, it's for real. But in college, I kind of came into my own and then have just been so grateful to have friends. But in recent years, I have really been more intentional about pressing into some relationships that have been harder for me. And it's been with great intention and purpose to engage in friendships that I've in the past, I've always just wanted to be with people who are like me and we all get along and have similar interests. And but then when you get a little bit deeper, we're all different. We all have things that rub up against each other. And when you press in enough, you really discover the ways that you rub up against each other. And I've found that when I've done that and I've engaged and I've been more chosen to be maybe more vulnerable or transparent or any of the things we've talked about, humble, prayed for wisdom about how to be a friend to someone who I don't understand the way they see the world, things like that, I have discovered several friendships that have gone way deeper than I've known in previous years. And it's been so life-giving. And in the process, what I've discovered is that I've learned more about myself in that as well. As we rub up against people that are different than us, we discover new parts of who we are. And it really is this beautiful experience of depth in relationship that's not just about having fun and getting along, but it's about really refining each other and finding unity in our diversity, in the ways that we're different. And so so many of these words really have resonated with me personally. I hope that they do for you. We are going to talk real quickly about finding our people. One of the things that maybe you already have these people in your life. Maybe because we're in a season of beginning sprouts, and many of you are in a season of like new moms. Maybe you stepped away from careers. Maybe you're in a spot in life where you're feeling a little unmoored because life is different. You left a career, or you're trying to juggle a career and being a mom, or you're staying at home and you're thinking, oh my goodness, is this going to end? or you're loving it so much, but others around you aren't. You know, there's so many emotions that come with the season of life that you all are in. Whether you have the people or you're discovering new people, I think it's important to think about who are our people and how do we move those relationships forward. So there's a tool created not by me, but that I've loved working with. It's called the Friend Guide that Jenny Allen, who is the founder of If Gathering, created. I downloaded it. I actually printed off copies for any of you who are interested in kind of going deeper in this topic. But I thought I'd just share. She has some great tips for how to find your people. So maybe this will be helpful to you. I'll just read them off. Go first. So don't sit back and wait for someone else to initiate with you. If you feel compelled to reach out to the person across the room, go for it. I think so often we can wait and have expectations about what others are gonna do to reach out to us. It's the same in a church. If you're new to our church, go for it. Meet that person across the room. Involve yourself. If you're looking for community, go for it. being here is that step for many of you. The next one is listen and ask deep questions. I think we have these on a slide, but listen and ask deep questions. So, hey, Brenton, do we have this on a slide? Thank you. I think. Just in case you want to see it. Listen and ask deep questions. So this is an interesting one. Think about what you would like to know, or maybe a question you wish someone would ask you. And ask it of someone else, but then don't do it so that you expect them to ask you back. You know, often we can ask a question and then just wait for the opportunity to respond ourselves. I don't know if any of you do that. I do that. But be satisfied with learning about the other person, even if they don't ask it back. And then be okay with silence. Sometimes listening means sitting with someone while they're thinking. Temperaments are different, right? But take the time to listen well. Tell people what you're grateful for in them. When you see something that you appreciate about someone, let them know. Doesn't that feel good when someone does that for you? Share the real stuff. We've talked a lot about this, but be willing to, in your own time, in your own space, share the real stuff. Don't put forth the polished version for too long. Maybe you have to on day one, but shed that as soon as possible. Talk about Jesus. If this is a part of your life, that is one way to go deep real fast, right? Jesus is the perfect friend in our lives and the most satisfying of relationships. And so if that's a part of your life, then that is a beautiful role model for friendship. Be quick to forgive. We have all messed up, and we have needed forgiveness. And so we've got to give that grace to others as well. So be quick to ask for forgiveness and quick to forgive, because it's so much better when you can move on through those things, right? And it's okay to only have a few. You know, you can't go this deep with everybody. So freedom to just have a few. So our hope for Sprouts is that this will be a launch pad for friendships in your life. And there's so many ways that we imagine that this might happen. In your circles, which we'll disperse to in just a few minutes, you're going to have opportunity to meet every time we gather with your small groups who you met with 2 weeks ago and connect on a deeper level. As we have different speakers come in, you'll get to process what you hear. You'll get to do life with one another. And then actually you'll be able to care for one another, both in the small group and in the large group setting. We'll be able to do things like do mom's nights out. There's a few of you who've never had a mom's night out. I spoke with you during the bingo game, and we've got to make that happen this year for you. We want to do mom's night out. We want to care for one another, meals for new moms. So when you have a baby or you're going through something hard, your leader might say, hey, can we set up a meal train for you? And we just want to love on you that way. And so that's something we get to do as a community. We get to hold each other's crying babies. We get to show thanks to the speakers that come and to our little Sprouts workers. They're just ways that in this community we can see one another and engage. Beyond Sprouts, we hope that you'll connect outside of this place as a small group or just with people that you meet new. We get to do some community service projects this year. We're going to partner with an organization called With Love. In fact, next time we gather, we'll have the founder of With Love with us to share about it, and that's going to be a way that we get to serve alongside one another, also have a mom's night out there, and so serve the community while we get to hang out together. And then around the world, we actually have two of our leaders right now. Stacy Nelson is in Lauren's group. Lauren and Stacy are your leaders, and she and Jen Johnson, both, Jen's a mentor, Stacy's a leader. They are in Tanzania right now, loving on people halfway around the world. If you can see those pictures, they'll bring joy to your face. You might remember Stacy, she shared up here last time. She was about joy, and she is about joy. And they are with an organization called Lahash. And I just wanted to share because these are our friends, our people out in the world making friends. They're working right now with an organization or with a group called Albino Peacemakers. So they're a group of kids primarily who are albinos and in a culture where they are really outcast because they're black people, but these are people without pigment. And so their parents have cast them out, and this organization gathers around them. And so they are there, and hopefully when they come back in a couple weeks, you'll get to hear more stories. But just there's so much opportunity for friendship and relationship, and we get to see even where, if you want to watch their blog, lahash.org is where you can get stories about them. So this, just in conclusion, we've spent a lot more time than we typically will just in this large group setting. The hope and the goal for today was that we'd look across the room, you'd discover people that are new friends but may not be in your small group, and then just to give you some resources. So if I've included on the slide just some of these resources that I've mentioned, the Bible study, Not Alone Bible study, the friend guide, if you'd like to pick that up, it's kind of a fun inventory for you to do on your own. And I've been enjoying the Made for This podcast, which is a Jenny Allen podcast, and her whole first season was about friendship. And so the other thing I put up there is the Enneagram, because the Enneagram has been incredibly helpful in my marriage and in my friendships to just give grace to all the people around me and the different ways that we operate and see the world, and it just helps friendships in a really beautiful way. So I can share about any of those if you'd like. But next we have, you'll get to go to your small groups and just further process some of these, some of the conversation we've had today. Okay, any other thoughts or comments? You guys, thank you. I hope today's been fun.